This is Kev Millar from the 2004 World Champion Boston Red Sox, and you're listening to Boston's Big Three podcast presented by Ride the Wave Media.
And welcome back to Boston's Big Three, episode 89 on this Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. day off. It's a good day to record a podcast. Had a lot of sports, a lot of things going on this weekend. So let's talk it out. But before we get started, we have something called opening takes now, similar to how we do final thoughts. We're going to start our shows with whatever's right on our mind. So Babs, you want to introduce us to your first opening thoughts of Boston's Big Three.
My opening take is Kyrie Irving. What's going on? You guys just got James Harden over to Brooklyn in the Brooklyn Nets. Make this trade to seem like, all right, let's make Kyrie happy. Let's put this trio together with Kevin Durant. And Kyrie's still nowhere to be found. And it seems like that he's not going to play for the rest of the season. So if you look at it in the Nets case, you gave up three first round picks, 2022, 24, and 26. And it's like a kind of a cop-out, because at least James Harden and Kevin Durant together are going to win you games. Like, it's going to happen. But if you're the Brooklyn Nets, like, what are you going to do? Like, is Kyrie even going to come back to the NBA at this point? His name just surfaced up today. I saw that he ended up buying a house for George Floyd's family. And I actually asked somebody about that and their take. And he said, maybe it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong, but is he doing that to try to take some pressure off of himself from the media? Like, because there's been a lot of negative media for him lately. So I just look at the Brooklyn Nets. It's kind of a joke. I feel bad for Steve Nash. I feel bad for Kevin Durant. You were going to team up with this guy. And I just hope that if Kyrie Irving has a mental, not all there, something mentally going wrong, that he gets the help that he needs. He's a player that has a big fan base that's respected by people, but it's just, we want to see what he does on the court, especially with this opportunity to compete in the Eastern Conference. And it's not there. So I hope Kyrie gets the help he needs. And I hope we get Kyrie back on the floor at some point in 2021.
I think he is coming back this week. He just has to do the quarantine thing because he's been around so many people since he hasn't been playing basketball, but it is an interesting idea. Exactly what is going on up there in Brooklyn. Nobody really knows, other than the fact that James Harden's just come to town, and they're really building a great team up there in Brooklyn, and they look like the front runners at the moment in the East. But my opening thoughts today was my first day at the University of Connecticut Stores Online for my grad program, and UConn basketball has not won a game since I've been there. So I may have to step down from my role in their program, just to make sure that they get back on the right winning note after losing to another unranked team. So who knows what the future holds, but I still got a lot of hope for my UConn Huskies now. But getting into the show, this was a busy week in sports. None more important than the divisional round playoffs in the NFL. If you want to jump right into whichever game you want to talk about first, Babs, there's four to choose from.
Yeah. I mean, overall, there's four games to choose from. They're entertaining, to say the least, competitive. It just feels like the NFL is somewhat rigged in certain ways to keep these games close. The thing that stuck with me is the Cleveland Browns were the Cleveland Browns of what we've known for all this time. Just so many mistakes between penalties or reaching out for a touchdown and you end up fumbling it, which ends up being a touchback. And they kept it close. Like, they did keep it close. I think if Mahomes stayed in that game, it would have been the 10-point spread, and they would have lost by like 15, 16 points. The Cleveland Browns beat themselves. I mean, again, you're realizing these teams, the New Orleans Saints, they beat themselves as well too.
A lot of turnovers.
Twice in the red zone, and you only score 6 points. Three turnovers, which led to 21 points for the Bucs, which you put Tom Brady on the Saints 40-yard line or even closer to that, and he ends up, he's gonna score. Yeah. It's game over
every
for the
time.
Saints. And you torch their special teams. And there could have been a special teams touchdown as well, too. And I believe that was called back. So, credit to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. They played a legitimate defense, And Davante Adams got his over Jalen Ramsey, which was fun to watch. So it looks like the Packers are definitely in the right spot heading into their game next week. And crazy stat, too, that Aaron Rodgers has never had a NFC title game in Green Bay. So this is the first time that he's going to end up doing this. And then for the Bills-Ravens games, the Lamar Jackson just, I mean, showed that how one-dimensional Lamar Jackson is, just a running back. That's what he is. They couldn't get anything on Buffalo. And, you know, it's great for the Buffalo Bills fan base. You guys are in the AFC title game, but you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. So Kansas City should roll out with that. But it'll be interesting, too, this week with Pat Mahomes in the concussion protocol.
Right.
But,
see if he even gets the opportunity to play next week.
Yeah. I mean, overall, it was exciting football. I mean, you stay glued to the TV the entire time, all four games. Totally. Sunday's games were 100% better than Saturday's games. But we have a good slate next week with those two games in the conference championships.
Did you enjoy watching Tom Brady play? Because I sure did.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is why I promote Boston's Big Three podcast. Because if you go back to any episode, I never said that Brady's washed. I've never said I support Brady. And
we love Tom Brady. We're the biggest pro Tom Brady podcast left.
I mean, I'm going to throw things out there just to make you mad. Like, I want to get an instant reaction from you. That's what's fun about doing Instagram, right? But at the same time, I'm rooting for Tom Brady individually, but I'm not rooting for those other 52 players on that team. I'm not rooting for Bruce Arians to fucking hold up a Lombardi trophy. He doesn't deserve it. And even with his comments that came out today that I posted about how he said that the players have the freedom and Brady gets to coach and he never had this opportunity in New England. He's throwing so much shade towards New England. It's fitting for Tom Brady to retire Drew Brees. Like, it's just, it's you crazy. Lost him twice in the regular season. They were down 20-13 in that game and he made the comeback and then they end up tacking on an extra 10 points on top of it too. It's again, the Saints beat themselves. That's the way I look at it. And also Drew Brees does not have an arm. Like he does not have, I mean, he had a good touchdown. There was a good throw earlier on, but they had to put Jameis Winston in there to make a deep ball throw. Like, they didn't trust Drew Brees.
And it worked.
And it worked. It absolutely worked. And I mean, again, I think it was like one of my Instagram videos back in March where I said, Tom Brady, like, congratulations, you know, you've done everything here. But if I'm going to pick a side, I'm picking Bill Belichick because Belichick's going to be around longer than Tom Brady. Yeah. So I'm sticking with the Bill train and Bill we trust. And it's not like, it just bothers me that, like, I talked to this with GRD and it's something where I could have picked a side on my Instagram account to say, hey, like, I'm going to support Tom Brady. And when the Pats get knocked out, screw the Pats. Like, I'm rooting for Tom Brady. I'm not picking another team. Like, I'm not going to go and wear those colors. I'm not so actively, I'm supporting that one player. Yeah, I support Tom Brady, but I'm not going to suck his dick over it. Do you think Tom Brady's going to care what I say in my life? He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't even know probably who I am, except that one time. He didn't know who I was.
He DM'd you, didn't he?
He did. He did know me for that one time. But he doesn't care about me and the Spike King while he's down in Tampa Bay. Like, it doesn't matter. It's not his focus. I'm going to say this, like, logically, like, it's kind of cool because you want to see him win 7 and then you want to see him win 8 and win 9 and win 10. But I'm focused on the New England Patriots. And I will say this, that the Tampa Bay Bucks, I'm going to keep picking against them. They're beatable. And I think that next week going against the Packers, they'll lose that game. But the Tampa Bay Bucks, if Brady and that team loses this game or the Super Bowl, they're going to win it next year. I'm picking them already to win it next year because I just feel that if you push Brady down, if they win it this year, they're not winning it next year. They're going to win within this 2-year window and it's going to be next year 100%. And I just think the narrative of, I do think the NFL wants Rodgers in the Super Bowl. I think there was kind of some tough calls against for New Orleans that they try to help him as much as possible, which is why you got Brady doing the high five thing. You know, like, to the referee as kind of a
getting
fuck
left
you.
Hanging.
Yeah, he kind of knew like that, you know, the Saints were getting the calls. But I mean, it's amazing to see what Brady's able to do still. I mean, he does have a fantastic supporting cast around him, like Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown, like Leonard Fournette, you know, even had Ronald Jones mixed in there. He's got a fucking stellar team around him. So also people need to realize that too. It's not just Tom Brady doing this with fucking Tompkins and LaFell and, you know, whatever bum ass tight ends you end up having. What's the one that we end up getting from Buffalo a couple years ago, or Martellus Bennett? Like, it's not like he's got legitimate studs all around him.
Those guys are studs. Marty Bennett's a stud. Come on now. Marty Bennett and Chris Hogan types.
If Tom Brady had those Chris Hogans, if Tom Brady had a Patriots offense like he did this year, like, they wouldn't be going this far. Like that's the thing. I don't know how many times I have to repeat this. Like, I'm not upset Tom Brady left. If Tom Brady stayed in New England, New England would probably be in the playoffs, but they're not going to be a Super Bowl contending team. Right.
That's exactly what we saw last year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would be very similar to last year. And with Brady, he has the right to leave. He has the right to go to the best place possible, which at the time is Tampa Bay, because of what they have set up there. It'll be interesting to see how they can keep a team like that together going forward with cap space issues and whatnot. I mean, something I tweeted out too, which it got swapped around because of the Seahawks losing to the Rams, but the NFL has this in the palm of their hands. Brady goes on the road, wins a game in Washington. He goes and plays now Drew Brees. He plays Rodgers, and then he could play Mahomes. He could go on one of the craziest runs possible. Has to do it all on the road, but eventually gets his home game.
But the home game's in Tampa, which would be unbelievable, so right?
It's funny how it goes like that. But, I wish this game, Packers and Bucks, was going to be the second game on Sunday. Right. It's a 3 o'clock game. I want that to be the night game. I don't want that to be the day game. Cause I think that's going to be the entertaining game of the day.
Both of these are going to be entertaining ones for sure. But if you were to pick your Super Bowl matchup right now, who's in the Super Bowl right now with these four teams left?
So I just want to talk real quick about the four teams. I'm always about storylines. Like, I'm narrative storylines. I'm a wrestling guy. I'm always like that. So how funny would it be if the Buffalo Bills make it? And it's like, this is our first time in 27 years, and they have to go against Tom Brady.
And then Tom Brady's on the other side.
Who's like 32-3 or whatever it is. He's only has three losses against the Buffalo Bills. Imagine that. Or you get the Bills. See, the Bills and Packers doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah, no one wants that. Nobody wants Bills Packers. No one wants
that. That's the one that you throw down, right?
Right.
So you get the Bills Bucks, but then on the flip side, you can do Kansas City. It matches up well against whatever it is.
Right.
If it's KC versus Packers, you got your throwback. Super Bowl one, you got your throwback right there. And then also you could have, Brady versus Mahomes. Like, that's what you want as well too. So if I had to pick what it's going to be, I think it's going to be the State Farm Bowl. And I do think it's going to end up being Kansas City and Green Bay. You have two number one teams going against each other. Aaron Rodgers with his MVP performance this year. He's going to get the MVP the night before. This will be Rodgers' last time he goes to a Super Bowl. And
I think he was already in the Super Bowl for the last time.
Oh, so I think this is his last chance then. Okay. Even in the NFC title game, I think this is his last chance. But I think Rodgers has been on such a fuck you type of tour, the way his body language has been this year, especially with the Packers drafting Jordan Love. It'll be interesting. I think this is his last shot, and I think he might know that. Whereas Brady knows that he'll have another chance. Yeah. Brady will be there next year. Like, Brady's gonna have that supporting cast around him. So
I think there's
I'm going Kansas City Packers.
Okay, I think there's a few different ways to look at the last four teams left, and I like the Saints and the Bucks played three times this year, and the Saints got the better of the Bucks the first two times. The Packers and the Bucks played once this year. That was the game where Aaron Rodgers scored the first touchdown of the game, and they were up 7-0, and they didn't score a touchdown for the rest of the day. That's like the Aaron Rodgers, the Hingle McCringleberry. Like,
So it was 3-0. He scored a touchdown. Should have been 10-0. It was a penalty. They brought it back. They end up having to kick a field goal, which ended up being 6-0, and they got absolutely destroyed.
And then the Bucks scored 40 straight points or something like that. But yeah. I think that, like, it's going to be a lot better game than that. It's not going to be like the Bucks steamroll them the same way they did before, because I think that game was in Tampa Bay. And this one's going to be very different. It's going to be a ground dominant game, especially with, I think, temperatures predicted to be like 20, 30 degrees, something sub-zero like that. So it's going to be a ground dominant game. So you're not going to be able to see the best from Tom Brady in the passing game. So
which won't affect the Tom Brady. The cold weather's not going to affect him. Probably won't affect Gronkowski. It might for some of these players on that team that's used to that, you know, warm air and stuff like that. It could affect his offensive line. So, like, his protection. could affect the defensive line. It could affect defensive players. So, I mean, with Aaron Rodgers, you're going to see Aaron Rodgers be Aaron Rodgers and throw that ball around. And and Davante Adams, I think he could have a 3-touchdown, 200-yard day. I think that Bucs defense isn't that good as you think it is. You know, I think that with a thrown quarterback, he should be able to pick apart that defense. Compared to someone like Drew Brees, he really isn't that thrown quarterback anymore. He doesn't have that same shoulder. And there was at least two deep balls in that game. I know the Winston one, which was a trick play, but at the same time, Brees did throw the ball down the field. I just think that it's going to come down in, like I said, it's going to come down to coaching. And I just feel that Bruce Arians is going to get out coached. It's not going to be Brady's fault. You're not going to see him throwing three interceptions like Drew Brees did. It was Drew Brees' fault why they lost. The Saints beat the Saints. That's the way I look at it. You gave Brady the opportunities to do it. The Packers cannot turn the ball over. They're not going to give the Bucs or not give Brady any opportunities. That's what you got to do. That's what's going to have to happen. But I mean, that Packers team is completely different from where they played the Bucs earlier this season. Same way where the Bucs were a completely different team when they got blown out by the Saints. I mean, you're finding this is what conference championship games are all about. The two best teams left in each conference. And that's what you're going to get out of that Bucs Packers game.
Yeah, going back to something you said earlier about having the storyline, that's what I'm looking for too. Because, like you said, nobody on the planet wants a Buffalo Green Bay Super Bowl.
No, it's gross. The worst one you can
have. It feels cringy just saying it, like speaking it out loud. Like you just don't want that to happen.
Just give the Packers the championship because like that. Yeah. Don't
exactly.
Buffalo.
I think it's gonna be a good. There's gonna be a good storyline as long as that matchup doesn't happen. Because if you look at the other seven potential matchups, it's gonna be good either Brady versus Mahomes or Buffalo, just the same way he's dominated Buffalo. I think that would be an amazing storyline just to see that in the Super Bowl about how many times, because New England would get talked about so much in the Super Bowl if Tom's there with Buffalo, about how dominant he's been against them the last 20 years. And then they'll flash back to the Mahomes AFC championship game in 2018 for the 18-19 season when the Pats went on to win Super Bowl 53. They'll just flash back to that a million times because it's showing how good Tom Brady is in the playoffs versus these teams that he's played a million times in the regular season. Those storylines would be beautiful. So my dream scenario would be Buffalo, New England. Buffalo, New England in the Super Bowl would be impossible, but beautiful. But Buffalo versus Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl is what my dream scenario would be. But my realistic one, if I had to put some money on it, I really do think it's going to be Kansas City versus Tampa Bay. And now, Tampa Bay will be the first team to play at home in the Super Bowl.
Who would you root for in that Super Bowl?
I go with Tom Brady.
Yeah. So,
I don't want to see Mahomes win.
Asking me a question and saying the same thing.
Right.
Babs, you are so against Tampa Bay. Like, you don't want them to win, but you support Brady.
Right.
If the Bucs make the Super Bowl, doesn't matter.
Of New England's cheering for Tampa Bay.
It doesn't matter if it's Kansas City. It doesn't matter if it's Buffalo. I'm rooting for Tom Brady.
Exactly.
I'm not rooting for the Bucs, and I'm not supporting that, and I'm not buying championships.
Here, let's twist it up. If Tom Brady played for the Bills and made it to the Super Bowl, would you still be cheering for Tom Brady?
Oh, that's tough. That is so bad.
But it still raises the same situation where you're cheering for the one player.
But it's like if it was like the Cleveland Browns versus the Tampa Bay Bucks, I'd be rooting for the Cleveland Browns. Like that's because I don't have any hate towards them. I don't have that. Like it's just an off thing. It depends. Like if the Bills are playing a team that I don't care about in the NFC, like the Arizona Cardinals, I'd root for Kyler Murray. Like I would root for that side of it.
And our former boy, Chandler Jones.
Yeah, root for that. I'd root for Larry Fitz to get a ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what I would want. So
I think it's important to understand that on the show, we don't – like, we're not Tampa Bay fans. We're literally Boston's big three. Tom Brady gave 20 years of his life. It was both of our childhoods growing up, watching Tom Brady play as our only quarterback. So we have a certain – place in our hearts and our minds for Tom Brady. We're going to be cheering for him. We're going to want to see him continue that success that he had in New England because it proves to everyone who's ever said anything like ill will towards him or about him. Anytime you've ever had an argument with someone, whether like, oh, is it Tom Brady or is it Peyton Manning? You'll be able to solidly say Tom Brady's one of the best players, not one of the best players, the best player to ever touch the gridiron. And it's not going to be an argument here in a few weeks.
the only reason why I would really be going against Tom Brady right now is just because of the narrative that's going to be coming out when he wins it all. And it's in right now, every game we go, the narrative gets, you know, bigger and bigger towards Bill Belichick being like, how the fuck do you let this guy walk? And now what we're going to be doing here in Boston, because guess what? Football ends in February. It's right around the corner. What are we going to hear? February, March, April, May, June, July, and August. 7 months.
Baseball.
You're going to be hearing. 7 months, you're going to be hearing all the negativity towards Bill Belichick. Everything is going to get scrutinized. And it's just, I don't want to be hearing it. I don't want to deal with any of that, because truly I will give Belichick the benefit of the doubt with Cap. And I do think this is an important offseason. But does Belichick want to hear that day in, day out? It's just going to be beating a dead horse. Tom Brady won his seventh and he did it while here. Why didn't you keep him? This and that. And I think that media is going to get to Bill and he's going to be rattled, like completely rattled. I just want the Patriots to at least have that one bad year, which they went 7-9. And because of the, I don't blame any opt-outs, but it's the cap issues. And you lost Tom Brady and it was a transition year. And as long as the Patriots can rebound and make the playoffs next year, go ahead, Brady, go win the seventh next year. That's fine. Go do that. But I just want to show that the Patriots can at least rebound off of that and show that it was a cap issue. I just want to keep that Brady versus Belichick a little closer than what it needs to be.
Right.
And yeah, then Brady go win. Because if New England got to the playoffs, at least this year,
we'd
with
be cheering
the team
for him,
that they had, I'd be like, oh, yeah, screw it. Brady, go win your seventh. Because I know the Patriots are going to be back here. But right now, the Pats have no legs to stand on. They have nothing to stand on right now. So I want to keep the narrative close because I do want Brady to win his seventh. And I do want Belichick to win one without Tom Brady. And I think in the ultimate universe, that would be great. It's just the fact that Brady's going to do it sooner than Belichick. And that narrative's always going to be out there until Belichick eventually wins it. I see them both winning a Super Bowl, like on their own.
Yeah.
But then I'll be rooting for Belichick to win too, because I just want that one. I'm a Belichick guy.
That's how
it's going to be. But and then, you know, it's going to come out from all these fans. Well, Brady didn't last as long as Bill. Bill's been doing it. He's a coach. He can do it till he's 75, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just, I don't know. I'm not a Brady hater. I love this last night, Brendan. You weren't in our group chat on Ride the Wave. I know you avoid it. But I said at the start of the game, I'm going to do something fun. And not everyone's going to know about this. This is the reason why I'm doing it. So I let you guys know. And I posted a picture of Belichick after every few Bucks drives or Saints drive. And it was Belichick smiling, drinking the orange juice and the water. But I was posting it as if I was Bill Belichick watching the game. And if you notice the expressions, it was kind of like, oh, the Saints are in the top. Oh, look at this. I told you so. Halftime, I'm eating my halftime sandwich. And then all of a sudden, it's a little smile, that smile that he had against the New York Jets. And all of a sudden, it turns into yelling. Brees throws another pick and he's upset. Brady scores a touchdown. And then at the very end, it's Brady flashing those rings. Nine pictures, nine posts. It's kind of like, this is what Belichick's emotions were probably like watching the game. And not a lot of people could pick up on that. They just thought it was me being bitter. Oh, you're against Tom Brady or against this and that. It's called content, people. It gets your people talking. So,
if you want some more, if you want to imitate Belichick one more time, picture this, we're 3 weeks down the line. Tom's just won Super Bowl number, his seventh Super Bowl. What do you think Bill's reaction is to it? And what do you think Bill's either like texting Tom? What do you think say they have a face-to-face interaction? What do you think Bill's saying to Tom after that win?
I'm sure he's congratulating him. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be crazy. That's what everybody here in New England's going to be waiting for, is going to be, what's the first thing that comes out of Robert Kraft's mouth and Bill Belichick's mouth when Brady wins that seventh one? And I know Robert Kraft, they'll give him lip service. Like they're going to, I'm sure Belichick talks to Brady here and there. I'm sure they talk and I'm sure he's congratulating him through his rounds. And I mean, again, people try to take it like it was a sour relationship to end and this and that. I don't think it was. I mean, Belichick gave him Antonio Brown. He gave him Josh Gordon. He tried to do what he could. And at the time, in that season, which they went like 8-0 before they lost to the Ravens, they were undefeated, and the defense looked good. They had a good team and good chemistry going on. Now, yeah, he drafted N'Keal Harry because he was trying to look for his future. He knows that that Brady was on his way out. He gave him Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown shot himself in the foot. I'm sure that bothers Belichick more, that Antonio Brown, what happened to him and losing his head, and all of a sudden he's down in Tampa and he's about to win a Super Bowl. Like, I would be upset. That's why I'd be upset about it. But in terms of Belichick, I'm sure he's saying, congratulations, Tom, you deserve it. You're the greatest player of all time. You're the greatest quarterback. And I understand why you left and you went into the greatest position possible. Look, I'd love to see Tom. I mean, if I want to play devil's advocate, I would love to see Tom Brady go to a team that he has to build instead of that already being there. Like, that's the thing right now. This Bucks team was was the silver platter. Here you go. We give everything possible. By the way, Leonard Fournette's holding out in Jacksonville. Yeah, he'll come right over. Oh, your buddy Rob Gronkowski. Yeah, he'll come out of retirement. Oh, Antonio Brown. We'll wait 8 weeks before bringing him on. Like, it's just, you're literally handing him everything.
Right.
And it's bullshit because the rings that Brady got, people want to call him the Cheatriots and all this and that. Sure, the defense helped him out in the first half of the dynasty, but Brady was playing with nothing on that offense. Like, you couldn't name receivers in those first couple of years except probably Troy Brown. Like, that's the thing that can come to your head. Or Jermaine Wiggins. Like, imagine that. You won a Super Bowl with Jermaine Wiggins as a tight end. But in the second half, you got to give Belichick credit because he got the guys like Edelman and Gronkowski that made something out of it. He got the little role players like Chris Hogan. He got these guys on offense. But those guys and those teams are, except for the 07 team, because he had Randy Moss, this team's way better. This Bucks team on paper would beat the shit out of any other Patriots team that he's won a Super Bowl with. That's why I'm saying you're handing this guy a silver platter and saying, here you go. You know Tom Brady's not washed. No one's ever said, if you say that Tom Brady's washed, you're an idiot. Everyone knows that Tom Brady still has it. And even in a down year in 2019, he still had it. Like, he still had it. I just want to see if Tom, and not saying that Tom, if he's truly the GOAT. He just walked into a very good situation. The timing worked out for Brady. And that's why I'm kind of like, he doesn't have to face really any adversity at all. It was just that his team didn't have the chemistry at the start. And that happens when you come into a new team.
Well,
so
that's exactly what he was looking for, because he's at the point in his career, he doesn't have the time to wait for the Patriots to build around him anymore.
Yeah.
So that's exactly why he ended up leaving in the first place. He had to get to somewhere that was already put together.
That's what I'm trying to tell Patriots fans is, like, if you kept Brady, would not have the team that he has right now. I mean, he walked into the best situation possible. So when he gets his seventh ring in a couple of weeks, which probably ends up happening, I mean, don't look at it like, wow, I can't believe you let this guy go. Look what he just did.
Right.
Just remember the cast that he has around him on that offense in Tampa Bay. And just remember what he would have had here in New England. And it's one of those things that you got to give it a couple of years in New England for it to eventually even out. I just wish it was more even now. Right now, Brady owns it all. Like, Brady is just miles ahead of Belichick and the Patriots. And it sucks. And we have to deal with it. And it feels like, I'm in the basement right now, and it's like, when are we going to get out of this?
Right.
But we will. We will next year.
Hopefully.
It's hard running an Instagram account talking about Boston sports and all this when Brady's just like flashing his fucking dick and throwing it right out there and saying, you know, suck my dick, Patriots fans that didn't want to support me or anything or support the Bucks. I'm doing this, blah, 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 and then I'm out of here. And now you have to wait until the Patriots can finally catch up, which could be 5 years for all you know. So, and that's the thing that's going to be, we're going to be dealing with the Brady fans versus Patriots fans, like, for the next couple of years. Right. Because if the Patriots don't, if they make it to the playoffs next year, and they make it there next year, and the Patriots don't win anything, you're still going to hear the people, oh, if you have Brady, oh, right, you let him walk. Like, it's just, I don't want that. And I think it's just me in denial because it's going to happen. And they're going to go to games next year. I'm going to be at Gillette with a half crowd over there. And they're going to be like, oh, I can't believe you never supported Brady. I'm like, I do. I just never support the Bucks. And you're going to fucking see all these people coming into the Patriots games the next couple of years wearing Brady Bucks jerseys. Like, you're going to see a lot of that too.
We should start something where we can't allow those Bucks jerseys to be worn in New England. Like, granted, there's the one week where the Bucks are coming to Gillette. That should be the only week that Tom Brady Buccaneer jerseys are allowed in New England. It's gross to think about that there's going to be another team's jersey other than like a Michigan or his old like San Mateo or whatever school that he's going to have jerseys for in the stands. And it's just, I don't like the thought of that either.
What bothers me at the end of the day, quote this, what bothers me at the end of the day is that Patriots fans found a cop-out excuse to not support a 7-9 team. And then when they get good, they're going to come right back onto the wagon. And I fucking hate that. I hate that. I'm a Brady supporter individually, but I'm not a Tampa Bay Buccaneers supporter. I'm not buying their merchandise. I'm not looking at it where it's like, oh, the Pats are 7-9. I'm out of here. I'm going to go support the Bucs for the rest of the playoffs. I'm not doing that. Like, it's like, well, who are you going to pick to win? I'd rather see Cleveland win. I'd rather see, you know, another team win. At this point, I don't really care who wins the Super Bowl. I'm focused on the NFL draft coming up. I'm focused on what the fuck's going to happen with the quarterbacks. I don't give a fuck who ends up winning this, because guess what? You're going to be an afterthought next year anyways when the next team ends up winning. That's what I look at. It's such a cop-out fucking thing. All these people, I'm from New England. I'm from Boston. Look at me wearing my Bucks jersey. I'm posting it on Instagram, on TikTok, and this and that. What are you going to do in 2.5 years when Brady's out of the league? Are you going to come crawling back to the team that you did not support this year? And even me, I didn't support Cam Newton. There was a point where I shut it off and said, I'm not supporting him, but I am supporting the team around him, because you're still looking at certain pieces that are going to go forward. A lot of people hopped off the wagon after week 3 and week 4, and they're like, I'm going right down to Tampa. And yeah, go enjoy your time. Go enjoy your 7th ring. But I'm going to fucking hate you and call you out when you come back onto the Patriots wagon in 2 years, when they're going back to the playoffs and still winning division titles. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. They went 7-9 with a really shitty team. Right. You can't get any worse than this. They're going to be better. And that's what bothers me so much, Brendan. It just bothers me that.
Well, that's a common theme in sports. Anymore. Yeah, that's a common thing in sports. I mean, if you just look literally at the last 2 years in the NBA, if you look at what the Golden State Warriors and how their dynasty kind of crumbled down a little bit due to injuries, you look at all those fans in California. Oh, we're just going to cheer for the Lakers this year because they're good. It's the exact same thing that's happening with Tom Brady and the Bucks.
And don't get me wrong. Like, there's going to be, I'm a Brady supporter. I'm going to support Brady, and then I'm going to come right back. But it's the way the season went. And it was like, you're only a Brady supporter. You followed him, and you have to follow the New England Patriots. This is what I'll say. If you are living outside of New England, like if you became a fan of, you know, the Patriots, and you live in California, or you live in India, or you live in Japan, or you live in Florida, you know, or you live in Minnesota, that's fine. But if you grew up in Boston and support all four major Boston sports, like, I don't care if you're a Pats, Lakers, and you're one of those fans, cool. That's on you. But if you support the major Boston sports, or you live in the New England area where the Patriots are like a quick drive down to Foxborough and you watch games at Gillette and all that, you cannot support another team. Like, that. Right. That's the bother. That's the bother of it. Yeah, can you support players individually? Sure. Like, I like LeBron James. Like, I like him because of what he's doing and stuff. The fact of the matter is, you completely said to the Patriots, screw yourselves, I'm going to go have fun in Florida for 2 years, and I don't care a shit about this team until they start getting better. So a lot of people expose themselves in that way. And it just bothers me that they're all going to come back to the Patriots and root for them and this and that. So I'm looking at myself long-term and saying, I'm sticking my foot in here. I'm with the New England Patriots. I'm with Bill Belichick. I'm riding this out. We're going to go through these little mini dark days, and I'm going to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And when Belichick wins his 7th Super Bowl as a head coach in New England, it's going to mean so much because I dogged it out. Instead of going down and selling, like, if Brady wins the Super Bowl this year, guys, that's it. That's all you're going to get from me. Congratulations. That's awesome. That's cool. That's great. I'm not going to your parade. Like, I'm not buying your championship merchandise to go show off to everybody. But I think about that. Like, when they win it and people are going to buy the championship hats. And like Dito, only Dito, he showed me that I'm not shushing anymore about it. He bought a Tampa Bay Bucks hat. He's like, oh, well, I've always wanted one because I was a supporter of Mike Alstott, you know, the awesome fullback. It's like, come on, guys. Like,
it ain't it.
If I could go back and you say, Babs, would you change your mind and be a Brady supporter and suck his dick for the clout and stuff? No, I'd still stick with Patriots. I'm still with the Patriots page, always.
Yeah, we're both Patriots fans. It's how it is. Go to the grave. But speaking of the other four major sports, I think it's time we mentioned the Boston Bruins on Boston's Big Three for the first time in 2021, I think. They're currently playing right now against the New York Islanders and are currently 1-0-1 on the season, both games coming against the New Jersey Devils. But they still haven't scored a goal full strength. They've only scored on the power play and during shootouts, but they got that one win coming at the hands of Brad Marchand, who actually picked up the puck during the shootout, unlike one infamous time during the playoffs recently. But the Bruins are back. They're currently tied 0-0, but you got any thoughts on our Boston Bruins?
No thoughts at all. Tuukka Rask took a big dump on me in the first game because he just like
he shut
stood
it down.
On his head. He shut it. I mean, he did give up two goals in the third, but he absolutely shut it down. He shut it down in overtime. Looked great.
And didn't allow a goal in overtime or the shootout.
Nope. So he looks fantastic. And you know, I'm still anti Tuukka because it's just the way you handled it. It's the way you did it last year. And I know he's going to get a lot of people defending, oh, this kid went to the hospital and this and that, and I'm sure I'm going to get proven wrong. I'll circle back on the Tuukka support soon, you know, give it a couple games. Cause you know, the next game, I believe Halak came in and they lost that game. So, the Boston Bruins, it's going to be Rask. Rask needs to prove himself. He just needs to keep proving himself. He's the best regular season goalie out there. But right. When it comes to crunch time, come on. I hope the Bruins make it back. And I will say this. I hope there's a little fire under Patrice Bergeron as the captain now.
He's got the captain patch now, official.
That you win it without Chara. Like, I'm supporting it that way, too. Chara left. I mean, again, another guy. His time was up. His time was up with the Bruins.
I don't think Pastrnak's playing yet this season. So the Bruins are definitely going to get a boost when he comes back as one of the best goal scorers in the league. They still haven't scored a goal yet.
When it comes to hockey, guys, I love playoff hockey because it's literally anybody's game at that point. But when it comes to the regular season, for me personally, especially with the Bruins, you know they're going to be there. You know they're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be at some point, and that's when I'll start focusing. That's when I really want to watch out all those games. I was watching the game right before we came on here, too. I was eyeballing it. So
the Bruins just got scored on, so it was Tuukka. Sorry.
Tuukka!
We jinxed them, but they're now down 1-0 to the Islanders. But, I'd say we're not a big hockey, like, especially if you're considering us the big three. I think the big three we talk about mainly, definitely Patriots, Celtics, and sprinkle Red Sox or the Bruins in there.
The problem for me is any sport, Celtics or Red Sox, it's just talk to me like at the All-Star break.
Right.
Like that's what I'm like for the Celtics, like in the NBA. I don't care until the All-Star break. Then I can wait and see. Because it's just like the NBA, the final 2 minutes is where everything happens. It's just like in hockey, you know, it has to go back. Just talk to me at the All-Star break. Let me see what the record is and then go on a run. Same thing in baseball, All-Star break. Once it's all about after the All-Star break. All three of those sports. Whereas football, every fucking week matters. Every game does matter. You know, just like college football, every game matters for college football.
It'll be fun to talk about hockey again once we get to the playoffs again, because like the Bruins hockey playoffs, they were in the bubble for maybe 2 weeks before they were all said and done there, because it ended up playing the
they got bounced quick.
Real quick. But moving on to the other favorite sport on the big three, the Celtics. They came back from their COVID stint. They had about a week off, but before playing the Magic at the beginning of the weekend or earlier this week. I'm not sure what day they played the Magic, but came out strong performance from the bench. I think every player that got minutes that game ended up scoring at least 4 or 5 points, which was magical. Because then you had Taco coming in at the end of the game and just lighting it up, adding to the highlight reel. You have Taco pulling up from three and picking up the ball and dribbling down Broadway and yamming on the Magic defender. So it was quite interesting. Got the Taco tattoo, so it may turn out to be a good investment in the long run, because Taco was balling against the Magic. But the following game, the Celtics did not perform quite as well. It was a blunder of a performance, probably the worst game the Celtics have played recently in the last 4 or 5 years, playing the New York Knicks. Ended up losing by 30 points to the Knicks. They were down by 15 or 20 the entire game. Nobody could get anything going. Jason Tatum's still out. Babs is going to say that, the Celtics should tank if they're losing to the Knicks. But
no,
this is the first game back for Kemba Walker.
I'm just laughing because you crapped on the Knicks and you said the Knicks are 5-3. You think they're gonna keep up like this? And they went on a 5-3 skid. But they end up beating the Boston Celtics by 30.
They lost their next 5 games. So you need to say that again to make sure we get the Knicks back where they belong.
I mean, they just had I looked at the Celtics just having a bad shooting day.
They had a very bad shooting day.
And guess what? Again, there's you know, 72 games this year, right. But there's so many fucking games still to happen. So is this now, if they lose the next game, they lose by 30, and it's like, right. Okay, we have a little problem here. But as long as you bounce back the next game, you're fine.
Exactly.
I mean, it's basketball.
And it's Kemba's first game back. You're having an all-star point guard take over for Jeff Teague again. You're going to have a guy that's more used to facilitating an offense more than Jeff Teague is, I think, because Kemba's actually more the type where if he's not passing the ball, he can pick that ball up and shoot, score, pass, whatever. It's going to be a different way to facilitate that game. So having a point guard come in that hasn't been in Boston, hasn't played for the Celtics since over the summer in the bubble, since the Miami series, and played hurt the entire time too, and have a guy that's come back trying to get his feet under him again in game action, because he didn't have any 5-on-5 like full contact basketball before his 20 minutes versus the Knicks. So it is interesting seeing Kemba step back in. It is going to be fun having these guys all mesh again together, because Kemba's, I've said this previously before, he's such a great leader for the Celtics, knowing that it's not his team. He's not the number one guy. He's not going to be the guy that's trying to score 30 points a game. He knows that is Jason Tatum teams and Jaylen Brown's team. So he's going to be dishing it to them, getting them off the pick and roll, everything to try to get them open, get them good looks, get them in their spots. And Kemba's been so good at doing that already. Even this game, the 30 point loss to the Knicks, Kemba had two or three assists to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen ended up having 25 points in the night, still leading the NBA in scoring per game. So that's a bright spot right now.
I was just going to say, I just can't wait to have the Celtics at full strength. And I feel like that's been the narrative for the last like fucking 5 years.
Right.
And if you take all games across all 5 years, right, and just say, it's like, so if there's 80 games a season and you do 5 years, so just say it's like 450 games, right?
Right.
At least 325 of them, they probably haven't been at full strength. Like, it just feels like that. They haven't had a season where they're completely at full strength, where there is no injury. And I'm talking about whether it's the Kyrie's or the Gordon Haywards, when you miss them the entire year, that's a whole entire season you lost because you weren't at full strength to what you should have been. Like, just something like that. And now all of a sudden Kemba's back, but Jason Tatum's out. So it's just like, I want this team to be at full strength, and I hope that they can be at full strength for at least a solid 25 straight games. Like, that's what I want.
We're going to see that here soon, because once Jason Tatum is back, that's really the full strength that you're talking about, because then you'll be able to have the entire all-star
and
starting lineup that we're talking about.
And not full strength for four games, and then someone gets hurt or banged out. I want them for full strength for at least 20 to 25 straight games together.
And
that's
how
you're going to build the team.
We want to see the big three in Kemba, Jaylen, and Jason go off for combined for 85 points, something like that. That's what we want to see from this team any given night. And they have the potential to do that. These are all 30-point-per-night scorers, and if they're all right and they're all on their game that night, they're all like passing the ball, moving the ball well, those guys are going to have so many open shots when Kemba's facilitating this offense. It's going to be beautiful basketball. We've already started to kind of see that game plan this year with the movement, especially with having two centers in the starting lineup, which I think is the most terrible idea of all time. But having the actual starting lineup the way it's meant to be, having Marcus Smart come off the bench, it's going to be beautiful passing basketball, the ones you see on Instagram that say just poetry in motion. So I think that's what we're going to see from the Celtics here in the next few games. As soon as Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker are both fully back from their injuries / illnesses, since Jason is still out with COVID until the end of this week, I believe. So it's going to be fun. I don't know what the Celtics schedule looks like going forward. I know they have a game coming up against Cleveland, so it should be an easy-ish one, but Hopefully the Celtics can get healthy and get right. But it's been fun. So we can start closing up here. Do you have any your final thoughts?
Before we do final thoughts, I'd like to just say that Boston's Big Three did a giveaway recently on the Viking page. So if you've listened so far, or you're just skipping through, you want to skip through, because I'm going to post it and say it was before the final thoughts of our podcast. And if you want to go back at this point, if you're just listening right now because you want to find out if you're a winner, just go back and listen to my rants about Tom Brady earlier and get and get the real takes that you get from here, and you hear it from my voice, or you watch it, you see it. We had a giveaway. It was for a winter hat. We had like a Patriots mask and some like car decals. We had the book, the book from Jeff Benedict, Dynasty. We also had a 8x10 autographed Edelman picture. I picked four winners. I went on there. I scrolled through them, read through them. I picked four people. What you got to do is, if I say your name, just DM me and directly say, hey, you said my name on the podcast. And then if you're the first person to DM me, you get to pick your prize. So it's one of those things that if you're listening,
I like that.
You're listening right now. And I say your name,
whatever you want.
What do I say it in? If you're the first person to DM me and I have it, you're going to pick out of what you want. So that's why you got to listen in. And I also screwed you guys because you thought it was just going to be a giveaway on Instagram. No, you got to listen on Boston's Big Three. The whole point was Boston's Big Three. So
we're going to double check. Make sure you're following the page.
The winners are Josh_King, BTC Brigman, Sim_Shady101, and Jossie. Poo 3. So Josh King, BTC, Sim, and Jossie, you message me, you DM me. I have your names right here, all written down. Those are the winners. So you message me, DM me directly to Spike King. First come, first serve. You get to pick what you win. And if you don't message me,
we're going to choose more winners.
Maybe we'll pick another one, but it's just, I get to keep it. But
or whoever DMs you.
My final thought, Brendan, is it's absolutely despicable that corporations and businesses just control our economy and our society, because I find it fucking moronic that because it's the NFL and it's the playoffs, we're going to make sure we have fans in attendance. And I just feel that we should be doing this across the league, even in regular seasons. Because if you're going to put all this fucking social distancing bullshit out there, all right, it seems like it's working at the arenas. You went through it. You already went to one. Did it seem like people were kind of spaced out? Did it seem like things were sanitized? Did it seem like everyone was kind of doing their due diligence?
Everything was spaced out once you get into the arena. But as soon as they open the doors, everyone's kind of like doing a little mad rush to try to be the first one in, that kind of thing. So that was really the only time when there was a big group of people together. But I think they are doing their due diligence. I just don't think they can control it outside the arena right when fans are entering.
So figure it out. Figure it out. Because I just think that if you're allowing this to happen in the NFL playoffs, where it's supposed to be right now the worst time possible, yet it's okay that Kansas City can have 16,000 people, and it's okay that Tampa Bay has been open all year long. And WrestleMania is going to be down there. Oh, it's okay. You can have fans. Why can't we have this in Boston? Why can't we just have this fucking 4,000 fans in Boston? Why can't you just, even if it's just your season ticket holders, I don't care. Pick a select few that can only attend certain games. Have it rotated. Figure it out, because seeing these empty arenas is just sad. It's just sad. It doesn't have a feel to it. And even with Buffalo, Cuomo, you're just, it's such a hypocrite that, your state gets hit so hard. And you want everything shut down. But when the Buffalo Bills are in there, oh, it's okay. We'll have 6,700 fans there. That's what I think. It's complete bullshit, Brendan. It's either, shit or get off the pot. You shouldn't be, if you're going to stick to it, but it's the NFL playoffs. We'll allow it to happen. What makes that so special? It makes no sense.
Right.
Allow fans, get these people back out there in society and do it social distancing. Because guess what? We're going to have to do it anyways to get back into a regular format of society. So I think that you're able to do it for hockey. You're able to do it for football. You're able to do it for basketball. You should be able to do it for even and here's double final thought. What's the baseball gonna be like, Brendan? Because I'm seeing that the Yankees and the Mets, they're gonna be hosting vaccination clinics, and Fenway Park's gonna be one. There's not even gonna be these baseball stadiums all across, because they can hold, a massive amount of people to do the vaccinations. You're gonna have to now get through March, April, May, maybe even June before you're even allowed to open these ballparks back up. So what's the MLB going to be able to do? So I'm just interested in that one. I'm sure I'll get back to that later on in the next month or two.
It'll be interesting. I think the MLB will find some way to get fans in because of how low their revenue actually is. They would be the hardest hit of all four of the major sports. without fans in attendance, because they make a lot of money from that revenue, because they're not getting the same kind of ad deals and TV deals that sports like football and basketball are getting at the moment. So baseball is going to struggle out the gate, especially without having fans for a second consecutive year. It'll be interesting to see exactly what they do, but I think Manfred does not have a plan at the moment. If Adam Silver was running things, if I had my choice, I'd have Adam Silver running all four of these major sports, because he'd find a way to make them all great. He's just one of those great human beings when it comes to the running the leagues.
Pitchers and catchers are supposed to be reporting soon, and I feel like I haven't heard any. Are they? It'll be next month.
Is
it happening still?
I don't know. It's still on. They are on for a full 162 at the moment.
They should, that baseball should be the sport, because you had your COVID outbreak last year, and you know that you're going to get to a point in July where it's like, we're the only sport on, and right. And everyone's paying attention to us, so we can't fuck anything up. I feel like baseball should have some sort of bubble operation ready to go, and they should be slicing things up.
The problem is they would never agree to it, because that's
– I know.
That's your argument before for how the NBA should go into a bubble. Like, there's no way the players would agree to a 50-plus game bubble. The same way the MLB, they've 162 games in a bubble. No, thank you.
I mean, it should just – and then it should just be divisions. So it's AL East versus NL East. AL East versus AL East. Like, it should just stay in division, stay in
that's
your
exactly
area.
What they did last year. I think you're gonna see something very similar to that again this year, which is kind of boring, because you're playing the same like eight teams over and over again, but it is what it is. My final thought, moving on, it is Dr. MLK's celebration. We're honoring him today, MLK Day. I got the day off. I don't know if you got the day off, but or actually you're still at work, so today we honor the legacy of a man who's great importance, the civil rights movement. I had the opportunity 4 or 5 years ago to go down and do one of the trails down there and just see some of the monuments for social justice. And it's crazy to think how far, how long ago that was, and how many problems we still have today. But still how relevant MLK's teachings are for modern day society. If he was around still today, he would be a very insightful man. It's a shame that he was assassinated in the way he was. I think if he was around today, he'd have so much wisdom, so much knowledge to still share with the world about exactly what is going on in our society, and even some pointers on how to fix it. So today we honor Martin Luther King Jr. If the world would definitely not be the same without him, I wouldn't have a lot of the friends I have. I wouldn't have a lot of the opportunities to do what I do. I think a lot of people would agree. He is one of the most important people in American history. And I think he's kind of overshadowed a bit. Like, he has his own holiday and everything, but I think it's important we honor him and remember him every single year and try to continue that legacy on. So it's very important.
Yeah, I feel like when it comes to school, people have MLK Day off. They're like, oh, holiday, cool, I'm off. Right. Like, they don't know what the importance of
gotta reflect
of is. Exactly. So I feel like because of the year that we've had in 2020, that I wish there was more for MLK going into it, leading into it, not just the day off. Like, there should have been a little bit more educational purposes heading into MLK. Instead of day, it should be week, and that's how it should have been. Like, it should have been celebrated like as a week for his life. It shouldn't just be one single day. It should start on Monday, but it'd be the entire week that way. And I know that I don't know, I just feel like there could have been a lot more that's done, but I think it also gets overshadowed with the inauguration this week as well too, and what's going on in DC. Just quickly about that, it's Banana Lands down there, where it's 25,000 troops, our individuals in the military are down there. I saw a picture today of like fencing all around the White House, where it's got barbed wire. It's like they're keeping everyone contained in that one area. They don't want anyone in, they don't want anybody out. I haven't seen pictures yet of people down there. I don't know if there are people down there. I'm sure there's going to be. It's going to be an interesting day. It's Wednesday, I believe, is the inauguration day.
That sounds
so weird. I lastly, too, on Tuesday, the day before, they said Trump's going to be pardoning 100 people and he does not need to, I don't think he needs, he doesn't have to publicly go out and say who he's going to pardon, but it's rumored that he's going to pardon a lot of people, wealthy people. He can pardon people.
Can he pardon himself?
He could, but I don't think he's going to.
That would be bad precedent.
But they said that he could be able to do that. From what I saw today, it was that he's going to be pardoning one famous rapper that is currently in a situation right now. Some have tried to link him to Lil Wayne because I think Lil Wayne's supposed to be going back to prison. And Lil Wayne was with Donald Trump a couple months ago. They took a picture together or whatever. He was one of the guys. So I look at it also as a way that Trump is, again, last-ditch effort. Just like, I don't know if we talked about it in the last episode, but the Bill Belichick thing.
I think we did. The Medal of Honor.
That was like a last-ditch effort for Donald Trump to kind of give it to Bill. He's trying to look out for his friends. And like, oh, well, everyone loves Bill Belichick. Like, let me just get that whole New England region vote like on my side. And Belichick did the right thing, of course. So I feel like this is another last-ditch moment and effort, depending on who he pardons, to try to get some shed of light. Because I will say this, if he pardons Lil Wayne, there's another one. Kodak Black, right?
Right.
Kodak's like in prison, I think.
I couldn't tell you all these who's in prison. So anyway,
but I'm saying, like, if he does this,
right,
that community that
he's gonna get some clout for it.
Like, oh, Trump's the man, like, you know, it's that last right before he leaves office.
The problem is I don't think there's anything at this point. If you're either like for him or against him, I don't think there's anything that he does or someone else does that's gonna change your mind.
It's the millennial kids, Brendan, that are 16 years or younger that have no influence whatsoever for these last 4 years because they were 12 years old. That does not affect them for their day-to-day lives. But if their favorite little rapper Kodak Black gets out of prison, they're going to remember that for the next fucking 15 years. So it's like one of those things. Guess what happens when they get older?
It's like Meek Mill and Robert Kraft.
They have the, they can legally vote and they can start going out there. So you start appeasing to the younger generation. Donald Trump appeases that very, very young generation. He tries to leave his legacy a little bit different. That's the way I see it, but.
It is interesting, but still a lot to think about going forward, a lot to reflect on.
And today I posted about how I saw this on Twitter. Tom Brady is going to be playing his fourth, playing a conference championship with a fourth president, the new president.
Oh, I saw that. So, I think that was from Bryson.
So that's that. I said, I looked at it even more. He was drafted during Clinton's administration. So I wrote that, and then someone tried shitting on me saying, no, he only played for four presidents. So I'm like, why don't you read the caption? And then he took a big L and then he deleted his comment. But
ratio him.
I mean, but still, five presidents that Brady has.
Unbelievable.
Was drafted in the administration, but he's been playing for four different presidents. It's crazy.
Also, I saw the stat on, I think Edelman posted like a congratulations to Tom on
14-2 in divisional games.
That number doesn't make sense.
And I mean that's always been his first game anyways, because they've always had the bye week. I mean. His wild card win against Washington must have been his first win in probably 15 years. They don't go to the wild card often.
16 divisional rounds, and this will be his 14th championship weekend.
In 9
appearance.
Out of the last 10 years, he's been
unbelievable. Like, you can't make these things up. And this will never be done again.
And going back to the Brady thing, it's like you can't hate it. Like, I'm not hating this. I mean. I wish he was with the Patriots, but obviously it didn't work out, and it's not there. And he's going to get to another Super Bowl. He's going to do without New England. Like, he's going to get there, whether it's this year or next year. Like, I'm telling you, it will happen. He's going to win one in the next 2 years.
Do you think
years.
He would retire if he won it this year?
No. That guy, it's one of those things that, you know, these people that love Aaron Rodgers, right? God bless them. It's the people that live in the Midwest. The Midwestern.
The cheeseheads.
Aaron Rodgers is the best. Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT. Aaron Rodgers is better than Tom Brady. I mean, if you were that Drew Brees is better than Tom Brady just ripped your heart out and made him retire. Like, and Brees has the regular season stats. Brees is going to have surpassed it eventually. Like, he's going to get it, whether it's next year.
That's
like,
right.
Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. If Tom Brady comes in and makes you lose, because you said – you already saw his last chance at the Super Bowl. But if Tom Brady comes in as MVP Aaron Rodgers, by the way, and says, hey, I'm not letting you go to the Super Bowl. You have to beat Tom Brady first, and Tom Brady wins. I mean, just think about Tom Brady now You got to put Rodgers out. You got to put Rodgers out of the conversation. It doesn't matter if you hate the Patriots. It's just like, you can't say that Rodgers is better than Brady when Brady went in there and beat you. Right. This game, by the way, I should have said this earlier. It reminds me a lot of the Kansas City game a couple years ago. The Patriots had to go on the road. Cold one.
Yeah.
And it was a cold game. And they had to beat Kansas City on the road. And they had to beat MVP Mahomes. You have to beat MVP Rodgers. But
hey, the MVPs don't win Super Bowls. So why not knock him out now?
Literally is going to play till he sucks. And it's at the point where
the problem is, I don't think he's ever going to suck. So
he might not. But then that's fine because he's just going to keep padding his legacy. Like, I'm, it's going to be at the point where Brady's not playing for the NFL greatness. You're stupid if you don't think he's the greatest NFL player of all time. I mean, like, playing he's for the greatest quarterback, status. But now we're talking about the greatest NFL player of all time.
We're talking about sports, like all sports.
Now he's going to start. Now we're talking about, is Tom Brady the GOAT of, like, GOAT athletes? Now you're competing against Michael Jordan. So Michael Jordan's the GOAT of basketball. And some people have said, well, he's definitely not better than Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan did this in such an insane short amount of time. But the longevity that keeps going, and if he's winning championships when he's 45, 46, 47.
And Michael never won with the Wizards.
He never won one with the Wizards when he went there. Like, just Joe Montana never won one when he went to Kansas City, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Like, it's just, you know, a lot of these players. Now, the only other one that's done it is Peyton Manning. He won with Denver and then retired. So Brady needs that. Like, Brady needs these little things. Like, just look at golf. Like, Tiger Woods is the greatest golfer of all time, if you want to say he is. I'm sure it could be debated. But in golf, you could play when you're 20 to fucking 70. Brady's going to kind of do that in this sport. Like, not playing until 70, but he can do it when he's 50. Like, and I just think that he's going to start competing. He's always going to find that underdog mentality. What am I playing for?
Right.
But, and this is why you have, and it's why I support Brady. Don't get me wrong. I don't support the Bucks. I'm going to support him individually. Because over time, it's just going to gross. You're going to get not sick of it, but it's just like he's still doing it. And he's not going to be a Tampa Bay Buck. He might be he might be playing for another team.
He'll retire. He'll retire after the Bucks. He won't sign anyone.
I really think he's going to play till he's 50. Like, and I don't think that he's going to be staying with Tampa Bay. I think he can be doing these two-year stints, then finding the next team that actually has pieces around him. He can go into that team and do it. I really think it's going to be like that. I really do think it's going to be like that. And I think that would it hurt Brady's legacy with the Patriots? It kind of doesn't matter at that point if he's winning championships with other teams, because it's like the LeBron thing. The guy won championship with Miami. He won a championship in Cleveland. He won a championship in LA. So his legacy is always going to be Cleveland. His legacy is always going to be here in New England. It's never going to taint it if he keeps winning and at least going to championships. Just like Brett Favre, like he left and went to the Jets in Minnesota. Like, they was still going as far as he can, and his body kept telling him to do it. You look at Brady play, you know, last night, he doesn't look like he's 43. He looks like he's in his 30s when he's playing. Like, he still looks pretty young. So, Brian, I'm sorry to go on a rant here, but
it's all good. It's just a long final thought.
It is a long final thought. It's just that Tom Brady, when it's all said and done, when he's 52 years old and he steps away and he's done, the fans, the media are going to say, we literally witnessed the greatest athlete of all time. No Muhammad Ali's, no Tiger Woods, none of the MJ stuff. Not Tom Brady was the greatest athlete in professional sports history. That's what he's playing for.
He needs to release a shoe now, like Jordan.
And he could. And that's the thing, is if he can get that media driven on his side, if he can get that going, I mean, he can sell whatever he wants when he retires.
Now,
when he's 52 and he retires, he still has another 40 years to live, like, because of his TB12 fucking methods. Like, he ain't dying. So in those last 40 years, he can be selling whatever he wants to do. I will tell you this. I think when he retires, I don't see him sticking around the NFL. I don't see him doing like what Drew Brees is going to do. He's going to be on Fox. Like, that's cool for Drew Brees. Peyton Manning should be on ESPN. Like, that's what they should be getting him. He's going to leave football entirely. And he's going to go do his own thing in Hollywood or LA or wherever he goes. So
it'll be interesting for sure.
That's it.
But I enjoyed seeing that post-game moment between Tom. I don't even know if it was post-game or pre-game, the moment between Tom and Drew Brees on the field.
Oh, it was post-game. Yeah.
Post-game. That was a cool moment for just a little send-off.
Just adopting his family. His family playing around Drew Brees. He goes, "Nay, coach, go long." Throws a dime to his son. Catches in the end zone. Like, it's just
– the best part of that video is Drew Brees' daughter just – beating up the little brother. Like, I didn't even see it the first time watching through, but I read some comments and like, yo, the little girl's a savage. I went back and watched the video. I was like, oh my God, she's killing the kid. But it was interesting. But thanks for hanging around with us. Winners DM Babs, episode 89 of Boston's Big Three. My final thought, since we're here, the strawberry frosted donut, top 10 donut all time. Actually, it's not even top nine. It's the number one donut of all time. So thanks for rocking with us. Boston cream. Hell no. Thanks for rocking with us. Episode 89, Boston's Big Three. We'll see you later.
Homer Simpson donut.
With one.